Podcasting 2.0 for July 22nd, 2022, episode 94. We got our bells out. Hello, everybody. It's time once again for the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Everything happening at podcastindex.org. What is the latest with the podcast standards, the namespace? And, of course, we go through all the nut job ideas we come up with on podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country. And in Alabama, ladies, you can meet him in person at Podcast Movement. My friend on the other end, Mr. Dave Jones.
Yes, ladies,
meet him in person. get a selfie with Dave, the pod sage.
I made two musical discoveries.
On the way home.
You know, of course, I do this on the way. I get off work on Fridays, and during the summers, we're off the rest of the day. We do half day summer. And then the rest of the year, do this on my lunch break. So. Right now, I'm on the way home from work. I was listening to some Steve Perry, and that guy is Sammy Hagar. His voice is
identical.
Sammy Hagar and Steve Perry are the exact same person with different hair.
I've met both of them, and I can assure you that in no way are they the same person at all whatsoever.
Okay, I retract this theory. It was a conspiracy theory.
No, I hear what you're saying, but no. Sammy was the one that egged me on to think about MTV.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when he came to visit. He was with Van Halen then in Holland, and you know the Alex and Eddie are Dutch.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. I remember that.
And you remember when they had short hair? All of a sudden, they cut their hair really short.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was late. That was towards the end, right?
Yeah.
Of Van Halen.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's when they were on the show, and I had my glorious blonde locks, and so we're doing the interview, and all of a sudden, Alex pulls out these big scissors. He's like, "Come on, Curry, we're making you join our club." Like. No,
get away from me! Yeah. He pulled out the.
Yeah, exactly. An early version of running with scissors.
That's the other musical discovery I made was that songs don't have interludes anymore.
Interludes?
Yeah. So like you know like a good you have. Like your verse, your intro, your verse, yeah. Verse, chorus, bridge.
Solo. So, yeah. Where's the solo?
Well, there's no, if you squeeze in the middle, there's another section that's just a musical interlude where it would just be, they go into just some different section and they just hang out there for 30 seconds or a minute and just do something different. And then they go back into the song. Like that doesn't happen anymore.
No. Well, that's because TikTok owns the music business. You got to get your hook out within 20 seconds and then maybe it'll catch. But that's
how. And if you're an artist and you don't pimp yourself and your song on TikTok, they fire you.
Pretty much every record company is, no matter how big the artist, you got to get on TikTok. Yeah. Oh, there's huge scams going on. I think, there's placement, there's payment for placement. The algos, I'm sure, are being manipulated for pay. I mean, this is a lot going on over there. It's such a black box. Not a black box is value for value. And I don't know, something, it feels to me like something tipped. Something that, you know, we went over some kind of, well, let me say a tipping point. And shit just started taking off. I mean, Todd Cochran, two shows in a row, is just Mr. Boostagram. We just call him Todd Boostagram Cochran from now on.
TBC.
I hear this, and I just wonder what happened. It's like maybe it's because he had the experience. He got his umbrella up and running, and he started seeing sats come in. Is that what it is?
I don't know. Maybe. Or maybe he just rediscovered... he said somebody started getting him to listen to the show again. He had taken a break from podcasting 2.0, which is not allowed.
No, I mean, that's against company policy.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be on the board if you don't show up to the board meeting.
Please, yeah. Or at least you know this is like the notes. If you can't listen live, you know, you can't attend the meeting, then at least you get the board notes.
That's right. Yeah, the minutes.
Yeah, the minutes. The minutes. Yeah. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. The minutes.
Yeah, okay. Gladys writes those up every week. You can't just
Oh, that's interesting. So, well, then must have been listening to us doing everything lit, where he felt the excitement. Everyone heard a couple of pew pews come in already. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible motivator. This value for value thing. And Cridlin has not stopped doing Boostagram Corner, and I mean, this is now just a de facto way of talking back to shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice.
And we found out yesterday.
Yeah. You didn't know about this? You hadn't gotten a secret little tip off?
No, I had no clue. The first thing I heard of it was Sam Sethi's tweet about it on Twitter.
Tell us what happened.
I didn't know. Well, I mean, if people listen to Podland, they did an interview with Moritz from Albi, and he revealed in there that RSS.com is doing an integration with Albi, so you can launch a podcaster wallet directly from their UI using Albi, and they'll go ahead and put everything, the value block, straight in your RSS feed.
Oh, phenomenal.
I mean, I had no idea, and I pinged Alberto. I was like, wow, that's amazing. You know, congrats. That's incredible. And
did Alberto play it off like, yeah, you know, we're just that cool? What did he say?
No, he sent me back a screenshot of their the unreleased, you know, the way it's going to look. He's like, here's the top secret tentative screenshot of the way the UI looks. Looks great. It looks fantastic. Yeah, it looks just like you would think it would be, where you do an integration. Now, you know, like, you could do it one of two ways, and I've had discussions with hosts before about this. You could do like an integration type style thing, where you kind of hook out to another service and launch a wallet, and then get the details, and then go ahead and put those in the feed.
Right.
But then the knowing that the user is going to need to go manage their wallet and everything from that other side or that other service. It's like, we're helping you. We're facilitating the creation of an Albi wallet for you, and going ahead and referencing it in the feed, and sort of like.
But wallet management is still done with Albi. I mean, all of that's separate, right?
That's my understanding. Yeah, that makes sense. My understanding is right now, unless I'm not right. But
man, hey, you know, can I just say, God bless the Germans. Hello, Deutschland. Here's the Hof. Man, this is so cool, man. Those guys got balls of steel over there.
Yeah, we got we got Michael.
Coming on in August.
Coming on in a couple weeks. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll hammer him about all the deets.
So, please, deets. So when does this launch? You know, is this close to launch? Must be, since they're announcing it, since they're talking about it.
I think it's Monday. That was my read.
Holy crap! What a game changer! You know, this is. I feel it's like I had this wave, kind of like, oh, this is so good, because here you have this hosting industry, which also by itself has been a little bit stagnant over the past 10 years for obvious reasons. The whole everything, the whole space, the whole space was constricted, man, by our own brains. It's going to create new competition. You know, I hear Todd talking about, and not just the wallets, but the whole namespace. I hear Todd talking to his development team, saying, hey, you know, guys, you got to look at something more of this namespace stuff. You know, you get Buzzsprout, of course, is ahead with a lot of implementation of a lot of tags. I mean, there's 58 apps and services. It's almost like 32 flavors.
Well, I heard him talking about, I was listening to Buzzcast on the way in this morning to the office, and they were talking about the live tag, and, you know, like, what can we do with live? How, you know, that I think the live stuff has really, that may be part of the newfound sort of fervor for all of this.
I completely agree, because
it's exciting.
Yes, it is. Hit me with the Boostagram, people. Give me a pew pew. I need a hit, a dopamine hit. I'm having withdrawals.
Yeah, the live stuff just gets you. It gets you going from a podcast. So this excitement is coming from is coming from the podcasting side, from the podcast creation side, and hosting side.
It's called adoption.
Yes. Adoption. Yes, yes, yes. It happens right after innovation, and
it does. They,
so, but then
thanks, Chad.
The podcasters get excited about doing these things like live, where it's just something new and fresh and cool in a way that you know that you're, there's an audience that's on the other end of it getting notified and you're all going to boom right there.
You know what? I think maybe since we're this deep into this topic, maybe we should bring in our guest board member, you know, since, you know, he's also experiencing the joy of value for value as we speak.
Yeah, sure.
Or is it too early? Or do you want to sit with me for a bit and hug?
No, no, no. It's never too early. He's finished. He's already had a powdered donut. He's good.
Please welcome into the boardroom. You know him as the co-host of Linux Unplugged. I don't know if he owns Started Up, whatever he did with Jupiter Broadcasting, but we'll hear all about it. A good pod friend of the board meeting. Please say hello to Chris Fisher.
Hello, gentlemen. Boy, it's so nice in here. It's when it's virtual, it can be as nice as you want it. And I didn't know we were giving out hugs.
I came
to the right episode.
Oh, we have a motion of positivity on the table. This started last week, so we continue to hand out hugs. Chris, I'm sorry, my intro sucked. Really, tell me exactly what you do. Tell us about Jupiter Broadcasting and the podcast you're doing.
I mean, you kind of got the important bits. Yeah, Jupiter Broadcasting is a podcast network. If you'll allow the term, it's of a rough sense. It's really me and a small team. Mm-hmm. And we focus on Linux, open source, self-hosting, and development. That's really kind of our core niche over there. And you're right. Linux Unplugged is really the show most people know us for. It's the largest Linux podcast out there. We've been going for like nearly 8 years. And we have, you know, just sort of in the last, probably starting in January, went really kind of big on trying to get as many features of podcasting 2.0 supported with our podcast as we can, as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, the real kind of, I mean, you guys were on my radar the moment Apple and Spotify started, you know, kind of showing their intentions with podcasting. But what really clicked for me as a podcaster, and I think you guys were just touching on this, it was Helipad. Mm-hmm. That was the breakthrough, right? It was mm-hmm. a new way to get input, to get feedback from the audience in a system that I think is superior to email for a lot of reasons.
Well, you jumped over a whole lot there. Just before we dive into that, when you say podcast network, I'm always intrigued. I think you know the reasons why. Is this a financial podcast network? Is it just a shared resource or not just a, is it a shared resources podcast network? What is the structure and what is the intent of it being a network?
We need a name for it, right? Because it's, you know, there's an LLC behind it to do like all the businessy stuff. And then we share resources in the sense that I'm on all of the shows.
Oh, you're a shared resource. Okay. Can they book you on a calendar or how does that, like a conference room?
I pretty much am, you know, the main host of all the shows or the co-host in some cases. And then we share editing resources, financial resources, you know, maybe, you know, sponsor deals, stuff like that. So it's a network in the sense that there are a handful of shows that are just really my shows that are focused on a core topic.
And is the main, has the main revenue driver been donations, ad sales, anything else? No motive. I mean, you have an LLC, so I presume there's profit motive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been, I'd say it's been a mix over the years of donations and advertising. We don't do like a lot of ads, so we kind of have maybe one or two sponsors and then the rest would be memberships or boosts.
Okay, so you have big sponsors like, what's the hosting company?
Linode,
yeah. I should know that. Okay, so they're like a main sponsor and they sponsor across the whole network. Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, good. Then you're exactly the right board member to have with us today because we're going to slam advertising and we're going to up the value for value.
You know, I actually, you'll find me frequently doing it too. Last office hours, I just went on a rant about it.
So and I will say that because I listen to Linux Unplugged, I love the show. I've boosted it. I always stream my sats. I don't mind ads in context of the show.
Right.
You know, when you break away for a Linode, now it's not even. I'm not in the market. I'm a Linode customer already, but I'm not really in the market for anything. But somehow, to me, it's like content. I think the ads kind of change. Yeah. You know, you make it relevant to whatever may be going on with the show at that moment. So those type, I mean, that to me is relevant content, and it's not like I'm being tricked or anything. I don't feel robbed of my time. So that kind of hybrid model I like.
That's kind of what we're trying to go for, is the donations through Boosts or the memberships give us kind of, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, so I would always try to do whatever's right by the audience, because I know long term that's what matters. But it also just feels good to make it work from a business standpoint. So the primary revenue comes from the memberships and the Boosts, which gives us the flexibility to say no to the scam email. I'm sure you guys see these too, these emails that come in all the time. It's ridiculous, right? So we get to say no. And then I you know, Linode makes a lot of sense because it's a Linux podcast and they're a Linux hosting provider, right? So we get to say yes to that kind of stuff. And then because it is such a good match, Linode's in their second year of sponsorship. And they're still very happy because we did make that content match works as well as it does.
I think the thing that is different about a show like yours, and I would put Accidental Tech in there. There's a few shows like yours where they're host read ads and they're well done and they're reasonable length. Now, you know, when it comes to probably what I consider the master of the host read ad is probably Leo Laporte. I mean, the guy just, you know, he can just do it for, I don't know how he's so good at it, but that the problem with those shows though, is the reads are so long. I mean, you feel like you're just, it loses the audience. I think that on your shows, Chris, you do a really good job of keeping them short and to the point where it does feel like content. It doesn't so much feel like an ad, really.
I'll take the compliment, but I think it is a tight line that is, until you figure out that the business needs to be oriented towards the audience and the audience needs to be the biggest customer, which took me years to figure out. It's not just obvious for everybody. Maybe it is for some people, but that's where I feel like the Boosts give that baseline to every podcaster possibly, where the audience is the most important customer from a business standpoint and from a creative standpoint. So both things are in alignment.
So if you wouldn't mind going back and how you first started hearing about podcasting 2.0, or I don't know if it was Value for Value that brought you in, or the project in general, and how it's been, how you introduced it, how you're implementing it, and do you have a Lamborghini yet?
Yeah, from all the Bitcoin. Yeah. No, you know, I think honestly, I'm almost likely had to have heard it from you on a show. But it really came on my radar because I just my lizard brain got all worked up when I saw Apple and Spotify playing their hands. And I realized we are way behind. We don't have a decentralized index. We don't have anything independent even of these major companies. And we have been lagging in any real feature development for so long. And this was the thing I realized I've been doing, and we all do it because we haven't had any other option, is I've been sending my listeners to different various websites for years to consume like a live stream or to get show notes or to get chapters. It's so dumb to be sending them outside the podcast app. It's short-sighted. And so when I saw the podcast index and I saw the namespace stuff, I thought, okay, this makes a lot of sense. And I became kind of loosely interested and thought, okay, right on. And I mentioned it on the air a few times because I thought this is a great idea. And I was grateful that you guys were out here fighting the good fight. But what I realized a little bit later on was, well, I mean, to be really frank with you guys, podcasting 2.0 support can be a competitive advantage for my podcast. I can offer features that other folks in the space can't offer, right? I think chapters, I think transcripts, boosts, all that are features that we should have had for a long time. And I want my podcast to have them first as fast as I can. And I think I have a savvy audience that wants that kind of stuff too. So that's an element of it. And then, like I said earlier, when Helipad came in, and from a podcaster workflow standpoint, like how I produce my shows, Helipad offers me a better feature set than email does, or, you know, Twitter DMs or whatever. Mm-hmm. Pew, pew.
Pew, pew.
Helipad brought it all together for me, and it was like, oh, crap. Plus, also, I'm just a big fan of Sound Money, so when I realized it was using the Lightning Network, I was all in.
Yeah. I've got a lot of stuff that I had jotted down to talk to you about. Some of it specific to you, and some of it about just what you were talking about a while ago with feature development and that kind of thing. So, but I think what I want to start with is you do live shows, and so how are you going to do anything with the live item tag? Is that in your on your roadmap at all?
Yeah. I think this is going to come up later too, but I think our biggest barrier there is that we're not generating our RSS feeds ourselves right now. But right. I am getting PeerTube established. I'm getting all of that plumbing ready. So when we do have that capability, it can just kind of get all connected.
What host are you using right now? Is it Fireside?
Correct. Yeah, it's Fireside.
Fireside. Okay. Because we can, you know, we know Dan really well.
We could put a gun to Dan's head and say, dude, put this tag in now.
Dan that literally nice drives Adam's tags. Car.
Yeah, yeah. I gave you my car, Dan. Now, please.
Yeah, what we need to tell Dan is that Adam still has the car registered on the Mercedes app on his phone, and he can shut it down at any moment.
At any minute. That's right. I can track him. Mm-hmm. And really, Dan, you went there? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to see also the ability in Fireside to individually edit the value items, so that way when I have a guest on, I could include them in the split and stuff like that. And so Those lacking. I'm trying to be nice because I really like Dan too, and I actually really liked Fireside. And I think it is a good deal, but it just I feel like those features not being on Fireside have held us back.
Exactly.
And we're talking about redoing our RSS setup.
This is good. This is not holding back. I mean, everyone's busy, of course. Everyone has their own development timeline. But I think what RSS.com did, that just kicked competition in the hosting space into high gear. I mean, everyone's going to see it like, oh shit. Well, okay. Well, we got to have, cause this is just how it works. I mean, you can see the pattern. It's like, oh, something's trending. What is it? Oh, these guys are doing that. Okay. What can we do? I think it's going to be very exciting. And frankly, I can't wait for the first hosting company to come and say, hey, here's some tags we've been thinking of.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I think we're really on the razor edge of just kind of building it, that infrastructure ourselves. And the part that makes me a little sad about that is once we're generating our own RSS feeds, and we're also moving on to generating our own website because we need a page that shows all of our shows together, I'm really only then using Fireside as a CDN, and that doesn't seem like a great value to them. And yeah, it's just not a good spot.
That's when you get on IPFS podcasting. It's all free.
IPFS. We got to have Cameron on, by the way. Do you do much with IPFS, Chris, at all? Have you explored
it? I hate to say I played with it and I wasn't super impressed yet.
That's where I'm at too. Me and Adam have been trying to do IPS for so many years, and it's like 90% reliable, but that last 10% is just so frustrating.
Boots on the ground update. Since I have installed IPFS podcasting on my Umbral, I am pinning and doing all the stuff for all of my shows. No Agenda has a lot of pins and a lot of cached episodes. I have not used it in any enclosure URL to date, but exactly what you say, Dave, then all of a sudden click, something happens and I get an email. And that is kind of cool because the email is automated and says, hey, your node hasn't done anything in 2 weeks. You know, you got to go kick it. And that's the problem is what am I kicking and why is it doing this?
You got to go kick what? I mean, I kicked the dog. That's the thing that. When we first started distributing the Podcast Index database on a weekly basis, the first way we did that was through IPFS. It's like, okay, we're going to make this thing decentralized AF.
Right, yeah.
And we're going to go straight to IPFS.
Wow, Deets AF? What's wrong with you? Where you been hanging out?
TikTok? I mean, on TikTok? I had to write a necromancer script that would just watch IPFS all day long and bounce it every time it fails. And so that's what was happening. It would just stop responding and I would have to bounce it, or it would crash and I would have to restart it. And so I get an email, and at least four or five times a week, IPFS daemon has to be restarted for some reason. And I just can't, that's not enough. That's not good enough.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. And in my testing, the way to really improve the reliability involves centralizing it through Cloudflare. And then at that point, use HTTP. I'm not a big fan of the Filecoin shenanigans either. I got to be honest. I don't like that.
Yeah, but that's completely separate. You don't have to integrate that. And I think their motives are pure. But there are some,
I love
there,
those guys.
But there are some people out there who have different ideas.
All right.
Know, just with the with the coin aspect. So I don't know. I mean, altcoins seem to have fallen out of favor at the moment.
No wonder why.
Yeah. I guess I'm just wanting to get a Linux Unplugged, or I'm just wanting to get those live notifications on my phone.
It really would be. That is one of the things I want the most. I think that's such a great idea. And that's when I was talking about how I feel sort of silly for sending people outside the podcast app for so many years to watch the live stream. And it just makes so much sense because they're my subscribers. They're already subscribed to my podcast. So it's going to get in front of a lot more people. And you look at the way that these apps are doing it, it's not really obnoxious. They're doing it in a really tasteful way that makes it clear this is a live show. I could see me messing up and not remembering to pull the live item tag and stuff like that. So I'm wondering about how I'm going to build process around that just so I don't embarrass myself a bunch of times.
Oh, dude, wait until you leave the stream on and are just chatting after the show for an hour. I mean, that's my favorite. I've done that.
I don't actually know if this is true, but I have been told by multiple audience members that I left the stream going while my wife at the time was having our third child at home.
Well, and no one recorded it?
I don't know. It may be out. It was years ago now.
At least three scripts that run out in the space somewhere. And the minute I fire up the live stream, they start recording. And then I have these emails and I can send an email and then it'll send me a link to the recording in case my own recording screws up. Yeah, there's all kinds of cool. That's value for value, man. That's how it works.
Indeed.
So just about the mix, if you don't mind, because we have some advertising stuff to talk about. You don't do any network ads. I mean, you know, like, do you work with ad networks? Is it really with companies individually?
Yeah, I just go direct with the companies.
Okay.
I just do sales myself.
Okay. And you do sales for the whole network as well.
I mean, I'm on the shows for the most part, so and I do the reads.
But it's so interesting because as we see value for value moving in one direction, And I think ads are becoming more of a problem. There's certainly going to be less demand for the next foreseeable time. That's just what happens in a down market. And I know that this is not just from numbers that float up on CNBC. You know, it's like my stepdaughter, her entire department in a marketing company was let go. She's the only one left. Was like, yay, that's a promotion. Trust me.
Oh crap.
I mean, yesterday. Now this is of course from CNBC, but Snap is seen as a bellwether for online advertising, and they had a horrible quarter, and you know their stock is down 38% or something today, and that affects everybody. And it's true. It's just there's less money being spent. You see it everywhere in the marketing and advertising business. So while this is taking place, we have Netflix, who are pure streaming and, you know, pay your one-time fee, which they've, of course, raised several times. And they're now looking at probably at best a hybrid model of a lower per month fee and, you know, you get some ads. And in the midst of all this, I heard a really interesting statistic, which is the amount of money the average Netflix customer is spending per minute they watch Netflix. And this was this, what do you think it is that, you know, for whatever you pay, what is it these days? $15, $17? I have no idea. You pay that per month. And you consume an X amount of time, of content in time. What do you think it is per minute that breaks down to if you divide your streaming minutes by your monthly spend?
Oh man, I'm gonna say 5 to 10 cents a minute.
Okay.
Oh,
Chris.
Yeah. Because the tricky thing here, right, is some of these Netflix subscribers are kind of degenerates. They just binge this stuff, so they could be watching hours and hours and hours at a time, which would lower the overall average. So I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to go 99 cents a minute.
All right, everybody, please boostagram your guesses, and I'll give the solution a little bit later on.
Now, is this Price is Right rules, or is it closest to the target?
That's okay. What I was going for, I assume.
$1. $1.
Yeah. One half of a penny.
Whoa.
Half of a penny.
One half of a penny. Now, if you, and so that's what people want to watch because they're watching it.
That's per minute.
That's per minute. That's
per minute. Okay.
So that would be the same as 20 sats per minute.
Well, that's almost what the default is.
Exactly. So, but what's interesting is people send 10 times as much in value for value. 10 times. So I just can't make Netflix's numbers work, you know, and they can't either. Then, you know, they're a debt-based company. They've never been profitable. Spotify is in the same boat. But when it breaks down to numbers like that, we're seeing a real market that we've created that is more profitable, is more fun, and does not come with interruptive ads, or doesn't have to.
Or spying.
And then, you know, there's this big, there's a paper that went out, 20 pages, 18 pages from the IAB,
IAB
labs. Labs is from the lab. I didn't know they had a lab.
Yeah,
R&D. Immediately I see guys with lab coats in my head from the lab.
Exactly.
And I read it. I read this paper because I heard a lot of different people talking about it. And did you guys read it? You know what this is about?
I read the first three pages.
Yeah.
Oh.
So the ad issue is, it's really one thing. Apple has a private VPN service that they've enabled for Safari that you can enable for Safari, which cloaks you, which means IP address and geolocation, a whole bunch of other things are no longer available through your typical web detection technologies, HTTP type stuff. So the log files won't be complete, and it doesn't affect their podcast app at the moment, but the fear is they would turn that on across the entire TCP/IP stack, and it would, you know, it would also hide IP addresses for apps, which would mean, the way I read it, the podcast industry would collapse.
Dun, dun, dun.
It would collapse. And it's sad to see that once again, here, and this is a pretty big group, and there's some bigger names in there than in the past when it just came to lobbying Apple to do stuff. But it's the same thing. I'm seeing a repeat. Let's get together. Let's put a paper together. Let's have some meetings. Let's work on a document. And without even, I mean, yeah, it kind of asks at the end, say, hey, Apple, could you please come to the table? This is a failed strategy. We know this won't work. Now, Apple may never change it, but just look at your business. This is, and look at your business and tell me that this is not incredibly risky. Incredibly risky. Apple could just wake up and just have a different CEO or whatever and decide, nah, screw it. You know, we're only going to promote subscription-based stuff or whatever they would want to do. Spotify, I think, doesn't care at all. You know, if it's more advantageous to them, they don't care. I mean, I think Spotify is happy. They know who their customers are, and everybody else, you know, it seems like the and it's not just about geolocation. It's about attribution. It's about knowing who you are. I mean, let's be honest about it. They're collecting data. This is what Acast does. The Acast was probably really smart to make that acquisition, because now at least they have registered customers and it's not just some IP addresses that are out in space.
Yeah, I think Acast wants to be, I mentioned this to you the other day, I think they want to be, and this is not meant as a, I don't mean this as a slam, but they want to be the Spotify of RSS, of open RSS. They want to essentially have the full stack, top to bottom, but using RSS. Instead of going the siloed approach where this Spotify is. My opinion, I've been refining this opinion for a while. You know, I had said a while back that Anchor was going to go away as a brand. I think what's ultimately going to happen, and the more I think about it, I think Spotify is just going to get out of the quote-unquote podcasting game pretty much in general. And what I mean by that is they may still call them podcasts, but what they're going to have is they're just going to have exclusive shows. And they're not going to be RSS involved around it. So they're just going to have this, essentially this private internal stuff. They're going to own Megaphone and these other places on the side so they can capture some of this revenue coming out of successful podcast shows as far as advertising revenue goes. Mm. But I think that Acast, so I kind of think in 5 years, Spotify is going to be sort of a non-entity when it comes to podcast, the podcast industry as a whole. may eat those words, but that's my feeling.
I don't see how they can last 5 years without raising more money. And Acast is also one of these baffling companies. They had I think they've raised $130 million. Okay, it's respectable, you know, over several rounds. They clearly spent some of that. We don't know if it was cash or in stock on what's the name of the company they bought?
Podchaser.
I don't know if they've done other acquisitions, but you know, now they had what they call a listening app, and that was only at the beginning of the year. And then they said, "Oh no, we're shutting that down, and it's all for the best." I guess no one cared about the app, and then they do, and now they're an ad-based company. They bought a database so that they can know more about podcast listeners to target ads better, and you know, we're serving the open ecosystem, but we've changed our app to Acast Plus, and now you can turn off the ads and just have your listeners subscribe and pay you directly. So
yeah, that's the full stack Spotify model. Yeah, yeah,
but
RSS. Yeah.
But that means that you don't have a lot of confidence in your advertising model because you need the inventory.
Yeah,
and if your inventory keeps going away because they're going private and by subscription, I just that's to me is baffling.
Yeah, they're killing one part of the business to grow another part of the business that they hope will be a recurring revenue. It must be the math that they're doing. But it seems like any of these ad deals at massive scale are going to be the absolutely devastated in any kind of economic drawdown. You know, if we have a recession here in the States or a recession in around the world, these kinds of bulk ad deals where they sell a bunch at once and they do them across multiple shows, these are the first to die. These are what they sell for dynamic insertions too.
Right.
And yeah, the dynamic insertions CPM, everybody's, this is like ad talk. We never do.
But no,
like
but it's dynamic, it's important to do it once in a while.
The DAI stuff, the dynamic ad insertion CPMs have come up in recent times and gotten a little bit higher. Heard Todd say that they're like half of what a host read is, which is not great. But I mean, as far as its historical value, it's bigger, and so it kind of got everybody excited. Oh, maybe dynamic ads can work. But in a downturn where advertising suffers, the dynamic stuff is going to take a hit immediately. I mean, like that stuff's going to go right back down.
And right now they have 47,000 creators, as they call it, which includes the BBC. So I guess they don't own at least all of them. And you know, because they have to approve them. The whole website for Acast is all about brand safety, et cetera, managing your expectations as an advertiser. So that's very difficult. And so, you know, that is just a fraction of the. And this is not going to be for every podcast to make money. And what I found kind of weak in general, and I mean, it took them 18 pages to say, Apple, could you please talk to us because we got a problem. That's really what they were saying. Apple, we have a real problem here. And just let us know. Are you going to screw us? Give us a timeline. We need to know. We've got to fix stuff. And it will take that before someone actually does something, not dissimilar to podcasting 2.0. So they throw in like, well, this will, you know, less content will be created. This is bad for diversity in podcasting. At that point, my head goes down. I'm like, oh, come on. Podcasting is one of the most diverse mediums you can ever imagine. So don't do that. The problem is Apple just needs to help them out. Now, this problem, by the way, was solved. You, Alex Gates, and I think Cridlin, Dave, you guys came up with a whole schema for this that solved this very problem.
Are you talking about the ULID?
ULID,
me and Dan Benjamin.
Oh, Dan Benjamin. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah, and I put that out there because it's sour grapes or anything like that. I don't really care about this, but I mean it is a point to make where there are. I mean, this was talked about. This is not. I mean, this was talked about before Brian Barletta joined the IAB group, and he went in there with the intent to talk about this problem. And that was literally like a year ago. That was last year's podcast movement that me and Dan did this.
Right.
And then it has taken a year I'm going to use this to lead into something if I can. It took a year evidently for the IAB to just produce a paper saying that there's a problem. Like this is the, and what I'm leading into is, this is the problem with standards bodies and working groups. I heard Todd on, this is going to be important. I want your input on this, Chris. I heard Todd on there on New Media Show talking about, he said, you know, the podcasting 2.0 folks, they need to, you know, start to develop this into a group and do all these kinds of things. And my first reaction was no. Because here's the standards bodies and working groups, they lead to the type of stagnation like this that we see. Here's the thing. We are guided by the rules for standards makers, always have been. Rule number one is interop is all that matters. That's the guiding principle of everything in podcasting 2.0. And in my opinion, should be the guiding principle in all open source projects. But we don't build, and to flesh that out, we don't build new base protocols. So if you have a base protocol that you need to build, something like HTML or something like that, or I can understand a W3C type organization. But for our type of setup, where we're not building necessarily base protocols, we're building glue protocols and interop specs to attach to existing specs and protocols out there. So we're taking RSS and attaching it to ActivityPub, taking RSS and attaching it to Lightning, taking RSS, you know, and attaching it to blockchains and Podping. When we're doing that, we can move fast and we don't have to have a huge cumbersome working group, because any failures, quote unquote, that we could experience are not there. There's a limited blast radius there because this is just glue. We can resolve the spec as an enhancement. So I mean, do you agree with that, Chris? I mean, because I think some, especially in the Linux world, a lot people are taking distros and then adding stuff to it, and they can move so fast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You said something in there that stuck with me, because I think I just realized I see it more as an open source project. It's not like a one-to-one, because it's more about creating standards and ways of doing things. But if you look at it from a community organizing standpoint, it very much is, because you have developers in the podcast apps that need to adopt new things that are being created. And you need consensus in that community, which this podcast helps drive consensus in a community that is developing open code and open standards. So it's more of a project than it is a standard body, maybe?
There's something else. There's a couple of things. And this is probably by far the most rewarding, most fun, most successful project or company I've ever worked in my entire career. And, of course, it's a complete 100% vow of poverty. But that is a key and critical factor. And the project, it's open. I mean, the fact that most of the code is open source is, you know, goes along with that, but it's open. And it really is value for value, because we started off by saying, here's the value we're putting in. We're going to do this, and we're going to use these tools for everybody to collaborate. And so while GitHub is a must for code development, having the Mastodon server opened it up to all, dare I say, stakeholders, so that podcasters, listeners, developers, interested, just people who are interested, can just drop by, throw out an idea, have a conversation, argue a point, whatever it is. But the continual reminder is nothing works if we don't all put in the work. And that really is value for value. And somehow that seeped into this project in such an enormous way with, I will say, my sincere appreciation to the many No Agenda Nation people who just seem to be willing to risk anything for any embarrassment doesn't matter to them. You know, look at some of the podcasters who were just, you know, the running with scissors fits perfectly. So by not having an organization, a structure, we still have leadership. Dave is complete code leadership, but he's also the kind of person who empowers lots of other people. That combination of letting people just go, you know, here's our constitution, rules for standards makers, And now don't be a dick. And then that kind of works.
Yeah, that's the charter.
Yeah, it is. It truly is. You know, run with scissors. You know, if you get scraped, we'll all patch you up together. You know, put a Band-Aid on it, give you a kiss and a hug, and then we move on. I mean, we laugh, right? But Dave, you and I have not conspired. I think about this a lot. I would say that the reason why all this works when you bring it together is because of the podcast. The podcast, the board meeting, that's really where everything comes together. You can get your hour and a half update once a week. You know, for some people, hi, Roy, it's a lifestyle. Roy, I think Roy goes to sleep listening to us.
Oh, okay. That's why he couldn't. That's why he sent us that. Yes. He couldn't sleep.
He couldn't sleep when we missed the show. Very disruptive.
I hope he gets a good night's sleep tonight.
And so all those things together show you the power. And look at what has been achieved in just 2 years from an idea to a major hosting company incorporating wallets to there being multiple wallet providers to, you know, all of the tags that all the different hosting companies have put into the services, the apps. I mean, this is not just a small little thing. This is an unstoppable train. I've seen this before. It was called podcasting.
With that as the framework, here is my proposal, so to speak. The pregnant pause in the pew is just beautiful.
No, you're a professional podcaster. You felt it coming. You let it go. Beautiful.
I did.
Felt it coming.
I did. I want to propose that we do something called the podcast improvement proposal system. This is why do you groan?
Because
what is this groan? No, you're gonna love it. You're gonna love it.
I'll just tell you why I had the groan. It's because
I feel like I just kicked a leg out from under your chair and you just right on the floor.
First of all, what was the acronym? Is it PIP?
PIP.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, I got an innie from that. But it's okay. I can hold back on the PIP. It also kind of reminded me of a blip, which is, you know, what the Lightning Network proposal or whatever those proposals are. So it was just a visceral reaction. It's my shit. It's my problem. It's childhood trauma. I'm going to work on it.
No, Pitar in the chat says it's a podcast improvement movement proposal. It's a pimp.
Pimp. Now
I like it.
Now we're talking. I'm all in on this, Dave. Do tell about the pimp system.
Okay, I just renamed it officially. It's now, we got a trademark. It's called PIMP.
Okay, right, wait. So, podcast. I'm writing it down. Improvement.
This was a board meeting to make it to
movement
like this.
Podcast improvement movement. Was it podcast improvement movement?
Let's just say podcast and improving proposal. And moving proposal or something like that. Yes, okay, this is
okay,
good.
Okay.
So here's the. And I'm opening the floor for discussion here. This is the idea. There is no working group. There is no standard bodies, and thank God there's not. And we don't want any of that stuff. This because they all involve meetings and boring things that make us want to go to sleep. We want to change the world without having any meetings. So
yes,
change the.
I'm writing that one down without meetings.
No meetings. Yes. This is not really different than what it currently is. It's just a way to make it make more sense to the outside world because we got an issue filed on the namespace repo, and somebody as a developer, and he said, you know, I really don't know how to submit a proposal. Is there a template somewhere? Mm-hmm. Like, how do I go about in submitting a proposal for a namespace tag?
Ah, and okay.
I thought, okay, that's a problem because it's not just the namespace. Podcasting 2.0 is lots of different things. Podcasting 2.0 is ways to improve podcasting infrastructure and technology, period. That could be namespace. That could be anything. So, I feel like what we need is a website or some sort of interface that says where you can file a proposal. You can submit a proposal. It gets assigned a number, just like a GitHub repo issue. It gets assigned a number. And then everybody knows that this is the place to look at these proposals, and it can be somebody can come along and say, you know what? I wish that that podcast apps would do such and such. That thing becomes a proposal. Everybody can see it. App developers can go and look at it and say, oh, that's cool. Maybe I'll add that to my app. Or this is probably a namespace tag. Let's slide this over and make it an official namespace tag proposal. So
a pimp would be a template that you fill out when. So the flow would be so someone would come in and say, hey, I wish that my podcast player could do this. And here's my thinking about it. And then we can say, oh, you need to file a pimp. Yes. You need to file a pimp. Go over here and fill out the fields. Is that what I'm hearing?
Would there be a pimp review board?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes, there would be. Yes. We review all pimp tickets, a pimp ticketing system. Yes, as M. Dusha says. And so, like, yeah, you look, everybody gets to look at the pimp tickets, and then you fire them off to whoever it makes sense. Like, this is, the person doing the proposal can say, this is an app proposal. Or a host can say, this is a namespace proposal. Or somebody like Chris as a broadcaster can come in and say, I wish that hosting companies would do such and such. And that becomes a host proposal. And so then the respective parties involved, app developers, hosting companies, advertisers, whoever the hell it is, can come in there and look at they can look at what the world is trying to tell them that they want.
Uh-huh.
That's specific to them. And then they can make decisions about, oh, this is okay. Evidently people want this. This is a great idea. I can stick it in my app.
I like this idea. I like the idea of pimp slapping a bad idea.
I just want somebody to propose something, and so that I can call it like refer to it as like pimp 12. You know, like we're voting on today on pimp 33. I just want that. I want the satisfaction personally of that.
I like it. I think it's great. Who's going to build it? Someone will build this. Someone out there is going to build this real quick. It seems simple. I mean, I could whip this up, but I got some other stuff to do.
You could do it in a weekend with headless.
No, baby. Next.js. This is the shit now. This is what I'm learning now. Next.js. This is what all the cool kids are doing. I don't know. Alex Gates told me that was a better answer.
Okay.
I was like, React. And he's like, no, man. Everyone's using Next.js. Okay. Next.js. This is how I used to do meetings with acronyms and with bullshit. That's why I like podcast improving movement proposal. Yes. These are very important. Yes.
I think this is a good substitute to, it solves problems and it formalizes the thing in a way that the world understands, but we still don't have to have meetings.
I love that idea, Dave Jones. You are such a smart man.
All right, I just shot my wad. I mean, so, I'm done. I'm done.
You know? Well, a recent pimp, that was implemented, and thanks to comic strip blogger for the transcript download now, available at podcastindex.org.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. Yes.
It needs a viewer though of some sort.
I hit it on my phone and my phone goes, no.
Yeah, it sounds like, what's an SRT?
What's an SRT? I mean, you can associate it with a text reader, I think.
Do you do transcripts on any of your shows,
Chris? Yeah, you guys got transcripts. I've seen them.
We've been playing with them basically since we started trying to implement the podcasting 2.0 features. Been trying the different services, you know, going through the different cloud ones, been looking for an open source one. So I don't have a good system yet. But, you know, I just feel like there's something out there. It's just a matter of technology and finding the right one. So I feel like that's a solvable problem.
Can I just read a couple of these boostergrams? Because people are responding to us in real time, just so we do a few of these.
Yeah.
Floydian Slips, stick it up your app, 2222. Thank you. I thought it was relevant. Carolyn, 1000 Sats, these pimp meetings get me so energized about podcasting. Telling you, right, man, and people will flock to it. Darren O.
Pimp corner on the show.
Darren O.
Pimp corner.
54th.
Yes.
Darren O, 54321, 54,321 sats, paying my VIG. Random thoughts is my fully podcasting 2.0 enabled solo show. Oh, it's an ad. Transcript. Oh, no. He's chest thumping.
Oh, okay.
He's fully 2.0 enabled. Transcripts, chapters, streaming sats, whatever other magical things you come up with. My voice is even silkier than Gregory William Forsyth Foreman's. JCD says I'm deluded, but I'm pretty sure I'm just deluded. Okay.
Darren heard that there were certain tags that Chris couldn't implement, so he just came by to kick.
Right.
Yeah. Feel it.
Go podcasting from Floydian slips. Let me see. Paytar, this is one I wanted to mention. 250,000 sats.
God almighty. Can you roll up the baller in the mid? Yeah.
Man, oh man.
Well, I mean, we don't know if it's the baller of the show, but of course.
Baller.
It's all right. Yeah. We got to roll it on. Boostagram reads, Chris's Unfiltered Podcast is how I found No Agenda, and No Agenda is how I found Podcasting 2.0. Love and Light from Chris. Oh, Love and Light Chris, he says Paytar. Yeah,
I think that's true for Alex Gates, too.
I forgot about the Unfiltered Podcast. That was a good show. It was just, it seemed like a shitload of production work that was impossible to keep up with.
You know it. You know it.
And that's what John and I kept saying. Like, this is a great show. But man, the amount of editing they have to do, it's just crazy.
Oh, no, I did it live. It was just still a ton of work. It was.
Oh, I thought you did a lot of that in post. Oh, that was all live. No. That impressive. Very impressive.
Still too much damn work, though.
Yeah. Well, it was, I enjoyed it because I said, oh, what clips did they take from me? Let me go see.
Ah!
Which is why we publish them, by the way. This is, we love that.
That probably did happen. It may have happened.
Of course.
I think I heard on a show, you gave me a hard time for grabbing your bell, but I have a bell. I've had a real bell right here for you. Yeah. That's legit. That's real. Everybody get your bells out.
I got a real bell. Give me a break.
Bells out. Bells out.
Bells out. Hold on. Let me write that
it's
one down.
It's not a soundboard clip. It's a real bell.
It's a real bell, man. Jeez. Carolyn, another, let me see, 1111 showing love to the live tag. Chad F with 1,000. Booberry with 10,000. At some point in the future, it will be possible to send a boost that will play the theremin live for you. Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess I can. An important customization of helipad, Dave. Take note. Need to be able to customize the sound. Yeah. Lehman Creations, 500 sats for a selfie with Dave.
No, thanks, Andy. Appreciate it.
Let's see what other boostograms. 21692 from Steve B. Stephen B. He says, Fiat $5, $5 for a server. Thank you. Those, I think, are the main ones. Yeah, that's what's been coming in since we've been live. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate that.
How's it going, Chris, with income from boosts? Have you seen it? Is it rising? Is it stable? Is it? Like, how do you notice that going?
So I've been doing some experiments. I think when people first get in, it tends to be a little low as they're trying to, you know, just get a new understanding of what a sat equals and all of that. But a couple of the other things that, we've done to try to just not only encourage adoption, but get people thinking about how much they're contributing is for a month. Last month, we were doing a split with OpenSats, which contributes 100% of the sats that they receive to their general fund to free software projects. And so if you boosted gave a 15% split to OpenSats. And I think that helped, you know, and we're doing it again for one of our hosts who's going to be doing some traveling on the road to get down to our studio to do some projects. So we're doing a split with him for a bit. And so the audience is contributing a little bit more, I think, than they had in the past. I don't know if I don't think we're at the spot where we're making probably as much as we do with the memberships, but it's also, I think, early. And I feel like we're getting more and more adoption. I feel like we're getting more boosts into the show. We're starting to think now about, you know, do we maybe set a 1,000 sat threshold to read a message? Because there's just a lot to get to.
Yeah. This is success. When you have to set a threshold, that's a beautiful moment. And don't be apprehensive because people will understand and they will love you no matter what.
I hope so. Yeah.
No,
I feel like I want to read all of them. I really do. But it also could just go on forever if we did that.
Value for value model has a lot of interesting things that I encourage everyone to play around with. Literally, we've done Sad Puppy on this show and No Agenda has done it. You know, it's like, hey, support is down. Look at this picture of the sad puppy. also berating people works incredibly well. Make sure they troll you with boostergrams. I mean, these are all things you can, and people will love it. It's the wackiest thing I've ever witnessed, and it never ceases to surprise me. People never cease to surprise me with their generosity, their genuineness. Those two go hand in hand with this system.
Yeah, and I think there is kind of an appetite for it right now. You look at everything else that's in the media, not many people are genuine anymore. And there is a real trust there, because if your model is value for value, you know that the creator's incentives are aligned with what the audience's incentives are. And that is something you can trust. Maybe they make a mistake. Maybe they say the wrong thing sometimes, but it's not an intentional misdirection. It's not intentional misinformation. It might have just been a mistake. And I think that's super valuable right now.
Yeah, totally agree. Switching gears, the social interact tag. Do you have any? I just formalized that this past week, and do you have any personal desire to use that in any of your stuff?
I've been thinking about that one. My best understanding is it creates like a thread on Mastodon for people to do comments, and then those are available. But I don't understand much beyond that.
Yeah, so the social interact tag allows you to specify a root post that exists somewhere on some sort of social network or commenting system, and eventually in the future, and it'll be expanded to handle things like reviews and stuff like that and ratings but it's really just a simplistic thing where it's like it specifies a URL which may go to an ActivityPub URL for an object, ActivityPub object, or a Twitter URL that's the root, that's intended to be the root of a discussion for that episode. And so then if the podcast app speaks ActivityPub or it speaks Twitter or it speaks whatever, then it can interact directly with the thread and allow posting and reading from directly in the app. So the reason I bring it up is this, it's, of course, it just got formalized, but hosting companies, I think, hosting companies and apps, I don't think they realize that they can do this right now with ActivityPub in a way that is pretty simple. Because to facilitate that, you have John Spurlock has two things that he did. He really took the social interact tag in himself and started building software to make it happen. I want to talk about two things. Podcastsocial.org, that's an API that you can use his system to just auto create a root post in an ActivityPub root post. And then you can include that in an automated fashion into your social interact tag. Then stuff can just, the conversation can live there. And with this, that one API call, you've created a place where ActivityPub comments can live for this episode. Then the flip side of that is the app side. And he's got a repo called ThreadCap, and ThreadCap's just a JavaScript, module that allows you to hook into that root post, give it the root post URL or the root object, and it will pull in the entire thread of comments. So there's two ready to go code bases, one a service, an API, and the other one a drop in JavaScript code that can give you either side of that you're looking for. So I think that, and the reason I bring this up is because, yes, Twitter is, yes, fine, and people know how to use the Twitter API and that kind of thing, but I would really love to see people not use Twitter. I mean, these activity, you know, ActivityPub is there. It's got wide adoption. It's the open source, way to go. And I'd really rather see people incorporate the ActivityPub side of things.
Mm. Yeah, that's interesting, because I know PeerTube speaks ActivityPub. So then I start thinking, could we make the comments on the live stream feed that we had published? Could we make the comments on that video the central point of discussion, so that we just funnel everybody to one point? So if they watch the live stream and they leave a comment, or if they're listening to their podcast app and they leave a comment, it's all on PeerTube via ActivityPub. And that I could see really useful.
Totally. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Cause we do that already. Like I did some live coding last night on No Agenda Tube that Alex runs. And, I have a live stream there. Sometimes I'll just fire that up. And I was working on Helipad last night live, and the comments and stuff that go on, if you post there, yeah, it's full activity pub. It can go, you can see that on podcastindex.social.
Yeah. That could be really cool.
Yeah,
I would definitely use that if I could make that.
Which apps has anyone implemented this? Fully on. I mean, there's the reading side. Mm-hmm. I know Podverse shows them to you, but can you interact yet with it? Has anyone implemented that?
I don't think so. Anybody has implemented writing? Writing with that? I think. Podfriend may have, but I don't remember specifically.
Mm.
I'm not sure. But this is a place where a host could pick this up and have a big win right away, and they could just, you know, cause from the app side, at least reading the comments that's a drop in. It's just John Spurlock's already done all the hard work.
A hosting company could set it up so that it's Activity Pub and that the thread is then displayed on the podcaster's website. So at least there's, you know, a function for it if someone doesn't have a podcasting 2.0 app yet.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point
for sure.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. That's actually my trickiest thing. I mean, I know you guys know this, but my trickiest, all of this is user adoption, because 30% of my audience is on AntennaPod. Another good chunk are on Overcast and Apple Podcasts. And then mm-hmm. There's a long tail, a lot of fountain these days, but you know, that's the tricky thing too. So something on the web would really be key.
So what are those stats again, Chris? So what are most of your users using AntennaPod?
I don't remember the numbers exactly, but AntennaPod's actually the largest. And then it's followed pretty closely by Overcast and the other kind of big podcast players and Apple Podcasts. And then you got Fountain in there, and then you got Spotify on the long tail.
Okay. Because AntennaPod is really, you know, they just put in podcasting 2.0 chapters.
Yeah.
And I think the social interact tag, especially on the Activity Pub side, I feel like that would be a really good fit for their project. I think they would want to support that since it's all open.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I feel like that's right in their wheelhouse. Do y'all do live video at all, or do you do any video?
We've just been getting back into live video, thanks to you guys, really, because I was big into PeerTube about 2 years ago, but it just wasn't there for me yet. And then when I heard that you guys were using PeerTube and I saw Alex was working on the NA tube, I thought, all right, I'll do this again. I'll get the plumbing ready so that way we can do the lit tag. We'll be good to go. And so I put cameras back in the studio and I started doing video again just kind of recently. Sort of a behind the scenes thing. Audio is really the focus still.
Oh, like a Twitch stream or something? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, it's on our PeerTube, but yeah, just sort of on your PeerTube. You know, watch us in the studio if you want to watch us sit with big microphones and talk. I try to make it somewhat interesting. I try to show the websites and stuff, but yeah, it's not a YouTube show. We're doing our audio shows, but we put them up there and, you know, people show up and they like to watch and stream it. So we'll do it.
Hmm. Yeah. Makes sense.
Helipad API, Dave, just since we're kind of in that realm still before we slip out.
Oh yeah. That's what I was doing on the live coding last night was, implementing the leaderboard stuff. And I got that in there.
So what does that mean?
There's an extra table in Helipad now that will, every minute or so, it will build, it'll build a new leaderboard and it's per user per show. So there's an API endpoint for it now, that's cores enabled. So if you're running Helipad somewhere, let's just say you had, let's envision a scenario here where you have Helipad in an office or at your house or something, and it's running, it's communicating with your Lightning node somewhere, and it's pulling in boosts all the time and streams, and building this leaderboard. Well, if you were to throw something like Tailscale on there, and then on a website, you could call out to the Helipad API.
This is what Tailscale is enabling. No more bullshit with router ports and forwarding and busting open firewalls and insecurity. I love it's
freaking
Tailscale.
Magic.
Yeah,
it's magic.
I love Tailscale.
And so you could do that And then your website could be running off that data that's coming off of your helipad if you wanted to have a live leaderboard website.
Nice.
Yeah, but there'll be a UI for it in helipad where you can pull up and say, show me my current leaderboard.
Mm-hmm.
But you could, you know, you can do it either way. But right, what we built last night was just the tables and the API.
Who is this we? Who is this we we're talking about?
Me and my dog.
Okay. I was like, Dave's cheating on me.
I actually think these features are just going to help adoption. You know, people, they like seeing their names up on the leaderboard. And also as a creator, I don't want to miss that somebody has been really contributing quite a bit, right? Those kinds of details, if you're not keeping track of it, you can miss out on and forget to maybe thank somebody appropriately. Sure. So really
good. Oh, and you will, and you'll screw it up and you'll skip over stuff and it happens. But man, I will tell you that I started, you know, Curry and the Keeper from the ground up, and there are people who really, really, really have no idea what they're doing when it comes to even installing an app. It's like, oh, I don't really like doing apps, and you know, people like doing it. It's like, okay, I'm going to do this because I really want to get my note read. I want to be a part of the show. I want to be a part of the community, and they do it.
It's great to see. I feel like if we could get boosts via the web, you know, something you could embed as a podcaster on your website, I think we'd also see another uptick in adoption.
Well, that's totally going to, that's Albie, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
They're almost done with that, I think. Aren't they done with the, mm-hmm. with the splits, the integrating in or something like that? I heard about it on Podland. Sounded like they were close to that.
I don't know. You know about the web embedding of Albie, do you, Chris?
I know about Albie, but I didn't know they had a web embed.
Yeah, so you can put a meta tag into a web page, and the Albie extension will see that on the site and
prompt
right. And you can donate directly through that. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I'm thinking more like what Podverse does. You know, where you hit the lightning button, and then this new pane expands, and you put the amount of the boost in, and you put the message in.
Right. Like that's very similar. Very similar to that.
Oh, yeah. That's great. All right, I'll play around with that.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
I think Albie is probably exactly what we needed to just kind of take it to the next level.
Yeah, I think so too. It took a lot of the complexity away. And the fact that you can hook it in to your own stuff on the backside, if you want to, you know, means that you don't have to, I mean, if you're hardcore and you don't want to do custodial anything, well, then you don't have to. Well, I mean, it's custodial infrastructure, but as far as like, you know, the destination of where everything's going to end up, you don't have to go that route if you don't want to. I know, but I, you know, I know a shiver just went up Roy's spine when I said that. But that's for the normies out there. That's pretty good.
What else is on your list, Dave? Do you have any other? Because there's so much going on. There's so many different things you've been working on.
Yeah, the other thing I've been working on pretty hard. I was hitting that a lot this week was the Apple lookup endpoint. This is almost done. And
this is so that there can be a complete drop-in replacement of the entire 2.0 system if they want to do it. And it would replace all of the Apple tags.
This is on the API.
Mm.
And so, within the API, there will be a public endpoint. Not behind a token or anything. It'll be a public endpoint, just like Apple's. And so this is for their lookup endpoint. This is where you can give it and you can call Apple's API and say, here's the Apple iTunes ID. Give me the information about this podcast.
Ah, I see.
And this would be a replacement for that. Not a replacement. It could be, but this is really meant, to be a failover. So if Apple goes down, has an outage that, apps and services can just do an AB and fail over to us, get the exact same data.
And you're using the Apple ID for the lookup?
Using the Apple ID for the lookup.
Okay.
And then, but we're using our database to fulfill the request.
So after that happens, then we send a bill to Apple, or how does that work?
Yeah, no, it automatically generates an invoice. Yeah, and it goes straight to Tim Cook. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we bill you for $3 million an hour.
That's all. No big deal.
Yeah, cool. So it's almost done. I need the last struggle I'm doing is I'm fighting through is the categories because I needed Apple's internal category IDs.
A lot of category work, including in they're now in the export of the database, I guess.
Yeah, the categories and descriptions. I've resisted adding the description field of podcasts and for a long time because I knew it was just going to bloat the size of the download. And of course it did, but it went from about 800 megabytes, tarred and gzipped. Well, the tars doesn't matter, but it went from about 800 megabyte, gzipped to like 1.3 gigs gzipped. So it almost doubled.
Wow.
But that's in that, and that's with a limit of 1,000 characters in the description field. People wanted it.
What is the typical amount of characters in the description field? Is it more than 1,000?
Oh man, there's some feeds out there that have, you know, a meg in the description field.
Oh, brother.
It's outrageous.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But yeah, that's two things that I worked on this week. And I'm really just trying with the lookup thing. I'm really just trying to give, I'm trying to stay true to the mission of what we're, there's the mission for podcasting 2.0. There's a mission for the API and the index. I'm trying to keep the mission pure on the index and give developers a non-Apple alternative to things when they need it. That doesn't mean that we want to, I mean, we can't afford to replace Apple's API. I mean, we don't have that much money, so we can't afford that much infrastructure, but we can and have in the past stepped in and fulfilled that role when the time called for it. And I mean, that's why Marco gives us $500 a month because, you know, we played an important role in his app's life during that time when Apple went down. And so I consider that to be really important, and we're going to, you know, we need to keep doing that.
I love this idea, and it'll lure in more developers. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. You know, we're your insurance policy. You may just want to hang out with us.
It's bait.
They'll figure it out.
Dev bait. No, dev bait 2.0. Nice. Shall we thank some people since you mentioned Marco, who indeed is one of the one of the people who supports us with the value he with a equal value to what he receives out of it. We love that. Who are we thanking, Dave?
Chris, you don't have a hard out. Can you hang with us for some boosts?
I'm here for you. this is what I'm doing.
You're a beautiful man. We got some PayPals. We got, as usual, every month, Marco gave us $500. He was top of mind.
Boost! Yes. Well, not really a boost, but we appreciate
it. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, sir, Marco. Appreciate that very much. And we also got a sad puppy rescue donation from Dame Jennifer Buchanan.
Oh, really?
Yes. $133.
Wow. Jen, thank you so much.
Yeah. She says, let's see if I can read this. It says, oh, noes. No PayPal donations last week. Let's see. Vacation should be. God, this is so hard to read. It's very light ink. Vacation should be celebrated. Well, I celebrate what y'all are doing to preserve free speech, even when that includes my slightly porny jingles, which make even me blush. Ha, Dame Jennifer.
It's so hot when you talk math. Run that Sphinx dry. Talk math to me.
You cheated. You're supposed to save that for episode 100.
Oh, was I supposed to? I'm sorry. I forgot our deal. Oh, I'm so sorry. Well,
I left the barn door open.
I'll get you a new one. Don't worry.
Slipped out.
Yeah.
It slipped out.
We get yep. So that's our two PayPals. And
oh, thank you, Jen.
We got
thank
a
you,
big
Marco.
Old batch of boosts, though. Okay. Big batch of boosts.
Boost.
Yep. Let's see. We got. Do you know who sent us a boost this week? George Orwell.
Oh, really?
Yes, he
do
did.
Tell.
Yes. From the grave, he sent us 1,111 sats through Fountain, and he says, "Adam, why did you close our channel?"
Oh, and. This is so there is a George Orwell, and I know the channel because I, you know, we have about 140 channels, and so I go through them regularly to see how everything's doing, if we got some good health on the channels, everything. And from time to time, what are you laughing about?
I'm just laughing because George Orwell complained about you closing this channel.
Yeah, well, from time to time, LND just closes channels. And then people say, hey, man, why'd you close my channel? So I didn't. And, of course, I had no way to respond to this. I saw the Boostergram come in on my own helipad. I'm like, oh, man. So I'm glad we hit that one because I want to say I didn't. Just give me your ID and we'll open a new one. No problem.
Yeah, this is a long-standing bug within LND. Yeah, I mean, like,
will that ever get fixed in this 0.15 or whatever it is?
Yeah, he says, George says, I just wanted to support you with forwarding payments with zero base fee. Well, yes.
Well, sure. Yeah. Thank you. We appreciate that.
No, this has happened to us with our huge channel to LNPay. I mean, it's just closed randomly before.
Yeah, that really sucks when that happens.
No hard feelings, George. George followed it up again with a 111.11. He says, is that a number? 111.11. Yes. Because sometimes when I'm listening to No Agenda or another podcast where you are in the value split, I got an error, so assume that it had something to do with inbound liquidity.
Oh, okay. No, that's different. Okay. If there's an error in the value split, that could be my note at home was down, or that could be something else. I don't know. I don't think it was on y'all's end. Not your fault for sure.
It's a mystery.
Yes.
Abel Kirby sent us 8888 sats through CuriaCaster, and he says, pew.
Thank you.
Michael Sean Becker sent us 10,000 sats, 10K big ones through Castomatic, and he says, first Boostergram.
Oh.
Popped the Boostergram cherry. He says, have been around since DSC days. Go podcasting.
Oh, nice.
How you doing, Boost?
Go podcasting! That's great.
Yeah. Boost.
Thank you. Welcome.
We get to say we were all there the day that he lost his Boost virginity.
If you were listening since Daily Source Code, you get to say, hi, I'm old.
Roy Scheinfeld.
There he is.
54321.
Bombshell.
Through Breeze, and he says, I missed you guys.
Aw, we miss you too, Roy.
Missed you too, Roy.
Did you see his Medium post, which also went up on Bitcoin Magazine?
I have it right here in my hand.
Yeah, follow up to Gigi's. This is very interesting, this is an industry wide push, the way I see it now, to change the word wallet into something else, which I think Roy is proposing payment, app, a payment app. If you're using in podcasting, it's just a podcast app, and I'm not quite sure why. It seems like there's a little more behind it. Why is everyone running away from the the way it's explained in the articles, I completely get it. But,
I do too.
But okay. I mean, that's a hard one.
I wonder if it's just a sort of, do you know what we're talking about, Chris? Or are you completely lost?
No, I'm following you.
Roy wrote an article, and the name of, if you want to go read it, is.
I think I actually did come across this one. And the idea sort of is that wallet turns off new users, the term, right?
Yeah. And then it's in general just inaccurate, because it's not really what wallets do. And so, I mean, I agree with it, but I wonder if this is just the spontaneous sort of thing of trying to take the nomenclature away because maybe it's causing trouble with App Store submissions or something like that when they see wallet.
I get it in the context of Web3 when you're going to log into a website with your wallet. That feels weird and broken. But having, 10,000 sats in a Lightning wallet on my podcast app, I don't have any problem with that at all. If I were going to change any nomenclature around Bitcoin, I would change mining into producing, because mining creates a visualization in your head that's resource intensive. But producing, that's fresh and clean. So let's focus on that, not on the wallet thing.
It's like you're burning the ocean. You're boiling the oceans with your mining.
Yes. You're producing Bitcoin. That's a great thing. But the wallet, this doesn't seem like a big deal to me.
I don't know if I have an opinion on it yet. I mean, to me, I think you're right, Dave. It seems like this is because there's so much legal framework stuff being done around wallets. The EU is probably leading in, bad wallet. Unhosted wallets, all this kind of stuff. And I think from a political angle moving forward, it makes sense to say, no, this is really just some keys, you know, and this is just a way for you to sign something so people know that you approve this.
Would you like a keychain, sort of a name?
Keychain, yeah, I mean, keychain, key but man, it's a uphill battle. I mean, just look at the iPhone has a wallet, you know, and the wallet, it contains your Apple Pay and your driver's license and God knows what else. It's hard to, that's a tough one. It's almost like, you know, YouTube. Oh, I got a podcast. I'm on YouTube. Like, what am I going to say? Well, no, but okay. I don't know.
There is an element of using the term wallet to help with adoption from new users. It's at least something they kind of can wrap their head around when it's such a new topic.
Well, but then why, like, then why are they saying it's bad for adoption?
Yeah, I just don't agree.
Maybe I'm.
No, I mean, I think it is in some cases.
I can already feel Roy getting ready to call me tomorrow.
This is the system working. We say things against what he wrote, and so he'll have to boost us again next week.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm not going to pick up the phone. Yeah, just boost us with your opinions, Roy. It goes for everybody.
Yes, it's bait.
Boost bait.
10,000 sats from dude. Through Fountain, and he says, 10K sat minimum for boost reads.
Oh.
I don't know. That's a little high.
That's pretty high.
That's pretty high.
Maybe we'll get there. If we're really successful, we'll get there. We'll see.
Yeah. Alberto, I have to assume this is Alberto from RSS.com, sent us 200 sats. Now, we really don't. We just implemented the 1,000 sat limit.
Yeah,
but
really?
But when Alberto sends you a boost from RSS.com, you have to read it.
Okay.
Boost.
Yes. No,
you're droopy coming boost. In cold, Alberto.
Yeah, droopy you, boost.
Yes. Podcasting, he says, podcasting 2.0 to the moon.
Okay. All right, to the moon. Here we go. To the moon!
When you're going to say to the moon, you got to bring more than 200 sats.
Yeah, I think so, too.
A little weak.
Yes.
Mere Mortals Podcast sent us a row of ducks, 2222 through Fountain, and he says, I like that Tom did that motion to look for the positive side of things. That's a really refreshing mindset. Yeah,
the motion of positivity. Thanks for your ducks.
If you've ever hung out with Tom for very long, he's just a happy guy. He cannot stay on the negative side of things for very long.
That's nice.
I can hang out there forever, but I was born a cynic. Kevin Bay sent us 100,000 sats.
Whoa!
Through Fountain, and he says, this might be a really bad idea, but what if someone put together a podcast index conference? It's a really bad idea. The conference would be focused only on software, hardware, namespace standards, value for value seminars, crypto onboarding, hands-on, and anything else except advertising and growing your show. All the things that are not advertising and growing your show. Just a thought. Well, go podcasting.
You will go podcasting too. That sounds a bit like sounds a bit like the hackathon to me.
Yes, Chris, I did thoughts on the hackathon. Is it a good idea?
I would go to a podcasting 2.0 conference. So yeah, I think a hackathon's a great idea. I think you'd be surprised.
Okay.
I think people want to get together, they want to strategize and they want to build tools around this. I keep thinking every time you guys talk about something, I think, okay, what's my workflow for that? How am I going to integrate that? How do I get all my hosts on board? You know, that kind of stuff. And anytime you get a chance to just chat with people in person and talk about that kind of stuff, it feels like you get like 2 months worth of stuff done in like in 1 week.
That's true. We're going to Podcast Movement and we're going to do a talk there. So I think what we could do is, instead of creating a podcasting 2.0 conference, we could just slowly over the next few years
buy them,
take over more and more.
Buy them. Yeah, that's my strategy. Buy them. It works.
Buy them.
That's what I do.
Buy them. Yeah. Yeah. We got a node full of sats, bitch. What does this place cost?
Kyron from the Mirror Mortals podcast, he sent us 94 sats through CurioCaster. And he says, boosting because you guys are awesome. I missed P2.0 as well.
Oh,
well, thanks, Kyron. We missed you too, brother.
Sure did.
Now, James Cridlin came in with a droopy boost of 150 sats.
Boost! Oh, sorry.
Boost.
No, take that back.
Okay. Boost. Boost.
He says, I didn't call Adam a dick. Just say that there's a potential personality clash between you and some others in the industry. Not a criticism. You speak your mind, and I welcome that.
Oh, interesting. So first of all, if I hadn't made it clear, that was all on me, James. I immediately thought you were calling me a dick. My wife calmed me down. She's like, no, you're seeing this the wrong way, which is why I love her, why I'm married to her. So, and I'm sorry if that wasn't apparent. I don't think there's personality clashes. Some people are just dicks.
There's no clash when you're just a dick.
There's no clash. I have no problem. But I do speak my mind, and if people don't like it, then it seems like everyone else in the industry speaks their mind. Certainly people at Spotify say what they feel and what they believe.
There's no lack of speaking of minds in the podcast industry.
And I like that. That's the way it should be. It's good.
I think the results are speaking for themselves.
Yeah, and I wish only everybody well, but I do kind of want everybody to play in the same field, you know? So if you want to go off and do your own thing, good. Bye-bye.
James sent another 150 sats, and he says, I've not ever called them, quote, silly internet tokens, unquote.
Yes, he has. I heard him say that. Maybe not silly.
Okay, I've called them in the past internet tokens or internet money because I reckon...
Funny money. He said funny money. I've heard funny money. That's it, funny money. It doesn't matter because, sorry. Was that it?
No, he says, because I reckon the word cryptocurrency turns many people off.
Yeah. Valid. Turns me off. I hate calling it crypto. I call it value for value. You don't hear me saying crypto ever. Hey, man, we're using crypto. No, that's horrible. That's repellent. Value for value is, okay. But I'm just saying in the beginning, when we first started off, there was a lot of resistance and people were like, what is this? There was a lot of resistance talk, you know, just like, funny money, whatever. All I'm saying is I love what I'm seeing. I love how, you know, when I have to hear, not have to, when I hear on a podcast I don't produce that I'm just a listener of, fan of, Podland, and that's where I hear about an announcement between Albie, haven't even met the Albie guys on the social, and RSS.com. I immediately texted my wife, said, this is unbelievable what's happening. Fuck marketing. This shit just works. It's so good. People just want it. They're just using it and they're talking about it. It makes me super happy.
People buy $10 of sats and spend them. Isn't a sat an internet token, or do we need to confuse and complicate it by talking about crypto to a public that does not understand crypto?
No, we don't need to use the word crypto at all. It's value for value, and we do it with sats. And then how you get those, now you have to be a crypto expert.
Now, if we want to change the nomenclature around something, getting rid of the word crypto, it would be fine by me. That word has become
I don't use it. I despise it. I've never liked it, and I thought Bitcoin to me is in a different category. But we don't need to have a jihad conversation.
I agree.
And I know Chris would be right there with me with his with his Kalashnikov and your Toyota and his Toyota truck. That's a good Bitcoin jihadist.
The Bitcoin dad pod backing us up.
So I think value for value seems to be well understood, and when I. Even when I look at getalbi.com, they've got a whole value for value description. I love this. It can be a little different for everybody. You can describe it in different ways. This, I think, is the big eye-opener. We struggled for months and months and months about a website and marketing and nomenclature and words. And the best things have happened without... I mean, look. Did we ever market Boostagram, the term? No, we just started using it. Podping, lit. Oh, my God. I hear people saying, like Todd Cochran's talking about this show is lit. I mean, it doesn't even make sense to someone who doesn't know what we're talking about, but we're using it. And that is so powerful. So that means that my hunch and what I think I've always said is that when people start talking about innovation or something new in podcasting and they do it on their podcast, it propagates. And then someone hears that, tells someone else, they tell a host. It's its own kind of slow, very slow, but it's a slow wave of marketing that is unbelievable in podcasting. It's unparalleled in any other industry.
And if I could jump in, I would just say I think a lot of credit goes to you, Adam, for giving podcasters a language to express these ideas. And then you're starting to see the network effect of more and more people using that language. And, you know, it started with you and John.
All I want is a plaque. Just a plaque. Doesn't matter where in Texas.
You earned it. It
doesn't have to be, you know, and you can burn me and smoke me and play Jackson Brown, the loadout. Everything else is fine. Just the plaque. One plaque. That's all I need.
Seems fair.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson Brown. No, thanks.
My death song. And you're slamming it?
I can't handle Jackson Brown.
You don't like the loadout?
No. It's something about his voice.
Just okay. Well, all right. Chris. Uninvite Dave from my funeral, please.
Okay.
He's not allowed in. He's not allowed in.
I'll take care of it. James Creeland, again, 1,001 sats. And he says, and because the other two boosts I sent today were below this limit, here's another one.
There it is. Okay. Well played. Well, I was about to complain about that too. Well played. Well played, sir. I'm looking forward to hanging out with James at Podcast Movement.
Yeah. We'll drink some beers. Satoshi Stream sent us 5552 through Fountain with a heart emoji.
Aww.
Boost.
Thank you. That's so nice.
Cass Peelin, 4550 through Fountain. And he says, hey, folk, I never do a live show boost. I guess it was a no agenda boost where you're calling out. You were calling out on podcasting 2.093.
Oh.
I had fun and earned 860 sats. I don't get the earnings so far. You can have them. Keep on the work. Keep up the work. Oh, boost.
Thank you.
Boost.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Cass. George Orwell coming in again. 2222 row of ducks, and he says, "Never mind. It was a force close."
There it is. Complained, followed up, and then resolved all with money. Thank you.
It
works.
Story.
It works.
Chris, did you? You were an IT freelancer for a while, right?
A long time. Yeah.
Long time. Do you remember, I don't know the origin of this, but do you remember the IT, it was a list called I think it was like IT achievements.
Okay. And they were, no, I don't know.
Okay. They looked, you know, they're based on like Xbox achievements. And so they would have a name and an icon and then a description of it. So like one of them was I forgot the name of the, it was like Dominator or something. It was, it said, fix a problem by doing nothing. And, so, you know, it's like those people that call you on the help desk and they're like, hey, I've got to, okay, never mind. And they hang up.
Yeah, those are the best.
It's like, yeah, my favorite one though was, that's basically what just happened here with him. He fixed his own problem. But my favorite one of those, was called Areola Bold. It was find a secret porn stash in somebody's fonts folder.
I've had a few of those.
And yeah. Did it ever come in handy?
Oh, I've gotten that achievement many times over the years.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And what do? Do you follow up and say with an email, hi, employee?
Yeah.
We've noticed.
Well, in this case, it was the owner. So basically a wink and a nod, and I just got myself a longer term contract.
Extension.
Yeah.
Cole McCormick 1 sent us 3333 sats through Fountain, and he says, I would like to motion for positivity and high THC percentages. The board meeting deserves top shelf stuff.
Nothing but the best for the board.
Thank you, Cole. Let's see, Nomad Joe sent us 1234 sats through CurioCaster, and he says, testing CurioCaster.
It worked. It worked.
Yes, test successful. NBS sent us 33333 through Fountain.
Nice.
He
thank
says,
you.
Go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
NBS. Mollusk sent us 10,000 sats through Fountain, and he says, I would love to see Chris Fisher invited as a guest on the show.
Boost! Your wish is our command.
Thanks for the great work and dedication
really delivering
both of
today.
You have. Yeah. I mean, you brought people. Before they even realized it, you brought people. This was fantastic. Lyceum 22222, a humongous row of ducks, and he says, I have tried to add the row of ducks number 2222 Satoshis to the Boostergram numerology page on GitHub. I've probably crashed the page now. How many ducks could you have in a row? All the best, Martin Lindeskog, Lyceum Parapatosum.
Oh, yeah, Martin. He's another one of these podcast listeners who showed up and is boosting shows and is tweeting and is helping promote. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's fantastic. He's all over the place. He's Twittering. Yeah. And everything. Boobery. What up, Boobery? He sent us a big fat row of ducks, 22-222, and he says, oh, hell yeah. This past Sunday for episode 107, we successfully deployed IR cacophony with the IRC capitalized, I see.
What's that?
IR cacophony, which is an IRC tool that allowed us to hear different pew sounds for different amounts boosted.
Nice. Oh, yeah. I like that. So helipad is so advanced now, or will be so advanced, you don't even have to look at some measly boost. No, we wait for the fireworks sound effect, then we know it's good.
It was very surreal to have producers boost in firing off their own ISOs of Alex Jones and Jim Jones. Wow.
This is a cool idea. I like this.
Yeah.
So you can fire up different sounds based upon the number of the boostogram. Oh, that's good. We could just have a full-time stream that just does nothing but that. So you have a selection of whatever, and you just boost, and then that gets queued up.
Am I reading this right? He says, it was very surreal to have producers boost in firing off their own ISOs of Alex Jones. Like, are they somehow providing the URL of the sound?
I don't know. I like this idea no matter what it is.
That's terrifying.
No, it's fantastic. Think of it. Just a 24/7 stream. And, you know, minimum boost is, you know, 10,000 or whatever. And, or you, 10,000, you get a 1 minute sound clip played. I'm just dreaming once again, but I can see listening to it, like, I'll listen to this crazy stuff.
That would get nuts. He says, very cool, questionably legal, no permission required.
Very questionably legal, but okay.
Very questionably.
Running with scissors.
Yes.
Naked.
Pfeiffer, 7777, lucky numbers. He says, getting a striper boost. He says, getting my boost in early due to a busy meeting schedule today.
Very nice. Boost. Thank you.
Good thinking.
And the delimiter.
Listen to Chris jumping in like he's been in the boardroom forever. Oh, nice. Oh, yeah. He's such a podcaster. He's
been in the boardroom for weeks.
Such a podcaster.
I love the boost. Yeah. I love the boost.
Boost.
Comic strip blogger, there he is. Boost series, 15,033 sats through Fountain. And he says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Do you know any movie director who needs British actor? I'm asking because...
No, I only know one.
Same here. I'm asking because Gregory William Forsyth Foreman from Kent, who previously, years ago, was working as BBC actor, is reviving his actor career now. Anyways, I invite your audience to listen to our podcast about artificial intelligence. Just enter AI.cooking in your web browser or podcast app.
It's so amazing. It really works. Every podcast is getting boosts from CSB, and everyone knows AI.cooking. Friends of mine, like, hey, what's that AI.cooking show?
And everybody knows that CSB is the cheapest person on the planet.
So, and so for him to send anything, it's working. It's working.
Yeah. Monthly donors, that was our boost. Monthly donors through PayPal subscriptions is Tim Hudgens, $25. He's my buddy. David Woodfine, $3. Dwayne Goldie, $8. Paul Erskine, $11.14. Michael Goggin, $5. Charles Current, $5. Christopher Reamer, $10. Sean McCune, $20. Cone Glossbach, $5. And James Sullivan, $10.
Oh, thank you all so much for those monthlies. Couple other late entrants in the Lit Boosts, 50,005 sats from Boobery.
Boobery coming in.
And he says, from 2012 to 2019, I would ask our audio guy on tour to do one final sound check with The Loadout by Jackson Browne. That song hits deep. Thank you, Boobery. Screw Dave Jones.
Was that in there? Or do you add that?
No, I added that. Sir Spencer, 12345. I'll read this one because it's a shameless plug. Lorian and I will be interviewing notorious Kyron Down on Bowls with Buds live Sunday after No Agenda. Love to all the hardworking board members. And Floydian Slips, who's just, he just keeps on going. 33:33, the only way to tell who's boss is to put your bells on the table. That's ain't that the truth? Bells on the table. Yes. Chris, I wanted to thank you for your podcast, Linux Unplugged. You know, I'm my daily driver is Linux Mint on a Surface Go version 3, which is quite enjoyable. And I really like the podcast because it keeps me up to speed with what's going on in Linux. You know, sometimes I might look at something, I might try it out, or there's something about it that works really well for me, a full-time Linux user, but really very casual in getting out of the box or anything like that. And it's a really good show, and I wanted to thank you for producing that and doing it.
Well, thank you. That's great to hear.
You're welcome.
Really, I was just thinking, how great is it, really? Because that's quite the compliment coming from you, so I really do appreciate it. If we're saying our thank yous, thank you guys, really. I think podcasting needed this. I don't know if I feel like it's too cliche to say it, but maybe we're saving podcasting right now, right here. Maybe I'm witnessing it with you guys. So
with no meetings, Chris. No.
Yeah.
Meetings.
No, the key is no meetings with anybody, really.
Yeah.
Well, it's everybody. That's what's so beautiful about it. We just the catalyst. That's because of where we were in our lives and what we want to do with our lives. And I think there needs to be a lot more mentoring because I think we are older. Dave and I are older than most people, probably. In the world, in the universe, I'm older than Wood. But I like it. I like seeing young, energetic talent from all kinds. It's just and some of the older dudes too. Hey, Todd, I see you. this is really important because the only kind of mentoring that's I guess official is like Podcast Academy. So we can't necessarily tell anyone how to make a successful podcast or content. But there's a lot of people around us who have great ideas and are being very successful, and just becoming a part of it is one of the best things I've ever participated in my life. I'm always astounded by how beautiful things work out in this project.
Yeah. You guys have been joking about the motion for positivity, but I'm serious. This show is like my positive moment of the week. I always listen on the way home because ultimately, even if, Spotify's doing something stupid or, Andreessen What's-His-Face doesn't know about, what's happening. Like, that stuff, it's annoying. But when you zoom out and witness what's happening, and when you see the kind of the podcasters getting it, you see the audience getting it, you see the app developers are getting it, hosting platforms will catch up or will just build around them.
Well, they're already on board. They are pushing hard.
Yeah. Chris, I would like, it seems appropriate to give you the opportunity to file the first pimp.
Oh.
And tell the board, is there any enhancements or things that you think should be done in podcasting too? Do you have an idea that you've been thinking of that you would like to submit to the pimp board?
I'll be honest with you. I think there's still so many of the very initial ideas that we need to see wider adoption. That's where I'm at. I come from the Linux community, and I've been a little surprised that there's been a slower uptake over there. It's not totally slow. There are a lot of people get it because I feel like what's being developed here could eventually one day apply to free software as well. Like if you get people on the Lightning Network that are listening to a Linux podcast and some other Linux podcasters get on there and you start having thousands of people that are on the Lightning Network that like Linux and then free software projects start getting on the Lightning Network, I think you could see people supporting free software pretty quick. So I could see this growing beyond just podcasting. But in terms of that stuff, I feel like there's still so many things that we need apps to support, or we need the ability to do via the web or that kind of stuff. So I don't know. My motion would be to focus on the core features and really just get adoption out there. But there's only so much you guys can do directly about that, right?
Yeah, but
you innovate, but people adopt.
Adoption is up to podcasters.
Right.
Podcasters got to tell their listeners, their communities, their whatever you want to call them, their producers. That's the only way it spreads. That's what works. That's one person talking about it goes to 1,000, 10,000, whatever a podcast has. That's it. That's the adoption. There's no, we could spend $50,000, be a gold with diamond tip sponsor at Podcast Movin' and get a keynote out of it. Not accusing anyone of everything. I'm just saying That's a way you can do it. The money's not there. And quite frankly, yeah. I think this is not the future of anything that we're looking at. Shit's falling apart. You know, these streamers are in trouble.
Positivity.
No, this is, it's very positive. Right. No, I think this is what you're saying, Chris, is, or for me, now I'm a participant in the show, but the way I see it is, you know, there's all these things that are going on and this is in trouble and these guys are shit and they're doing that and Apple doesn't care. But I always know, oh, but look at this great group of people doing cool shit. And it's just moving forward. And I don't use Apple. You know, but I use things that work for me and the people who listen to my podcast, like No Agenda. It's not on Spotify. It hasn't hurt me because the people who want to listen to me, they will get an app that works for them. So the adoption part, it's if you can get your own audience to adopt it, that's the key. That everyone needs to work at a local level. Get your own audience to adopt it. Everything else falls into place.
I think that's it. And that's really well said. And I feel like as a podcaster that's been doing it for a while, I've always felt like I'm just out on my own doing this all by myself, just doing my own thing, which has been fine. There's elements of that I've liked a lot. But as we've started getting more and more into the podcasting 2.0 community, it's felt like now we're part of something bigger. And something that's trying to make the medium better.
Yes.
And the motivations are pure. And it's something that feels healthy to me as somebody who makes his living off of this. Right? There's an element of that, too. It's like this is healthy for my business.
Spot on. You're exactly right.
It's a lot better to unify as an industry or it's a lot better to unify around features and innovation than it is to unify
around award shows.
Yeah, and $200 memberships to a podcast academy.
I'm sorry. I don't want to sound negative, and I agree with you. It's just a lot more fun. We're getting more done. Everyone's welcome to participate.
Decentralized, but we're peered. You know, it's like we're
totally.
Well, and also there's so much money trying to drive success from Spotify, from Amazon, Wondery, who else is in the game? I mean, there's such a drive to turn it into kind of a Hollywood that, you know, now as a podcaster like you, Chris, we are now known as indies. Mm-hmm. And I just hate that. I mean, I love that I'm independent, but don't put a label. I'm a podcaster. Don't call me an indie podcaster.
Yeah.
It's rude. I'm a very successful podcaster.
And I feel like what's happening on kind of like the back end is we're building this network that is available to all podcasters that is completely decentralized, yet everybody's incentives align.
Exactly.
Like it's great if like a podcaster who makes a competing podcast to me, I win if they start taking boosts. Like that's pretty powerful.
Yep.
Yeah,
you win big time. You beat out the whole system.
Yeah, it's the network effect, and it just grows. And so you could have these centralized entities like Spotify or Apple trying to generate revenue models around podcasting. I have, you know, I've seen that go and I've seen them try it. I've seen others try it. I've seen it fail. But this is something decentralized, and that to me feels more sustainable. It's more true to RSS, and podcasts, which is decentralized, right? It's just really in line with all of it. I like it a lot. So thank you guys. Really, for getting this going.
And there's a lot more coming. There's a lot of apps and services that have approached us and that are working on stuff. And I think we're going to be very surprised in the next 6 months just of the adoption. You can feel it everywhere. It's just happening. And we're kind of removed from it, which I love. That's what I like so much. It's like there's no talk about Dave and Adam per se. It's just podcasting 2.0. Love that.
Yep. Yep, for sure.
Always just a few spaces removed, though. You know, I think people know. People know.
Know what?
The work you guys are doing. Oh, that's a podcast.
But my point is, it doesn't matter. That's what makes it successful. It doesn't matter. Dave and I have to remind each other. We have to say, hey, man, did you notice that this thing is kind of working? Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
So, Dave, closing comments? Dave, have you already left the board, sheet. The boardroom?
No, you caught me coming out of the bathroom. Let's see.
Wait, what is this?
I think that's a good place to...
beep.
What is that from?
That's an ISO of Todd.
Beep.
That's end of show right there. I don't know about whatever that is. It's beautiful.
You're welcome. Yeah, I've got something else, but it's a big topic. Let's save it for next week.
Okay, excellent. Chris Fisher is, you can find him at jupiterpodcasting.com, I believe.
jupiterbroadcasting.com, but could I make a request for jupiterbroadcasting.net? This is our test site. Our community's building us a new website, and I'd love the audience's feedback.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Yeah, they can let us know on GitHub. jupiterbroadcasting.net is our in-development website.
And of course,
can they file a pimp at jupiterbroadcasting.net?
On GitHub, well, I guess, you know, a boring old issue.
Oh, okay. Well, not everybody can be a pimp.
And of course, the outstanding Linux Unplugged podcast. Really appreciate you dropping by the board meeting, and have yourself a great weekend, Chris.
Thanks, gentlemen. You too.
Okay. Dave, my brother, have a good one.
All right, man. Have a good weekend. I'm off to fix a clutch in the truck. So.
Yeah, is that what their kids are calling it these days? Okay, fine. Go fix the clutch. That's it for Podcasting 2.0. This is the conclusion of the board meeting. Catch us back here next week. Until then, see everybody.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.